Morning. Welcome to First Christian Church. Please take this opportunity to silence all cell phones and listen to the prelude as we prepare for worship. Thank you. Morning and welcome again to First Christian Church. So take this opportunity to fill out the friendship sheets and pass them along in the pews. We do have a few announcements. After the service, we have an all-church Thanksgiving dinner. Don't want to miss that. Great feast down in the fellowship hall. Also, next Sunday is the Hanging of the Greens. A special Sunday service, December 15th, is a music Sunday. And warm items needed for winter. If you're looking to donate any items, contact Keith Rouse or Debbie Mestis. Also, blankets for babes. If you're interested, please drop off your donation to Teacher Annette by December 2nd. Do we have any other announcements? Oh, yes. Yeah, don't want to miss that. Any others? what do you say? Okay. Let's take this opportunity to stand and greet each other as we prepare for the opening hymn, Gather Us In. Please join me in the call to worship. Lord, we come to your temple, your church, to worship and praise you. Yet, Lord, we are surrounded by confusion, anger, and division. We pray for your peace.
But, Lord, we know you are with us, and we give thanks for your presence and the blessings you give us today.
Please pray with me. Father God, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, we give thanks for your guidance. Sometimes we like to think we are in control, like we have it all figured out. And time again, we are shown how easily we can be led astray. We praise that you are our guide. Your ways are never wrong. Please guide us in our lives daily, that we do your will, not ours. Hear us now as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 717, the hymnal, Let All Things Now Living. Thank you.
I guess I'll call the kids forward. Come on, kids. Why are you all sitting down? You're all children of God. Come on. I don't want to be alone up here because I'm afraid of what's in the basket today. Come on. What? That's all right. The bigger group is given the basket today. So come on. Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. Okay, come on. I need help up here. Kylie's got the basket, and she's having way too much fun with what she put in it. Look at that face. Look at that. Oh. Oh, no. You lied to me. Oh, my gosh. Oh, hey, look at this. Look at this. Oh, my goodness. It is absolute. Let all things now living give praise and thanksgiving. You can't see. Can I bring it out? Does he bite? Oh, and he's my colors. Look at this. Oh, so sorry. It is a live rat. You knew. Too many people knew what was going on with this. And I've been shaken because I thought, what is Kylie going to do to me? Oh, this is, I love it. Can I take it home? Whoops. Oh, my goodness. Oh, can you see this? He's not shaking, so he's comfy. Oh, my goodness, look at this. Did you work with the pastor on this? Let all things now living give praise and thanksgiving. What a perfect one to do, right? Oh, Kylie, this is awesome. Oh, my gosh. I don't know what to do. Just hug this little thing. He's so sweet. Okay. I'm holding a live thing, a live rabbit, a gift of God, a gift from Kylie. I know I can't keep it. But the song we just sang really has to do with this, doesn't it? We are all living. And what are we supposed to do? Give praise and thanksgiving. Is that right, kids?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's happening this week? Is it Thanksgiving? Will you think of this rabbit? This live rabbit when you eat a turkey?
Yes. Yes.
And will you give praise? Okay. Will you give praise and thanksgiving that this is an awesome gift of God? Kylie, can I take him home? Oh. All right. I know. He's just sweet as can be. This is sweet. Everybody, let's bow in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, giver of life to all things, we thank you for our presence, your presence in our lives. We thank you for the gift of little tiny rabbits and turkeys and dogs and cats and moms and dads and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles. We thank you for all the life you have given us. In our Lord's name.
I think my mom will put something in the basket.
Okay, kids, let's go. All right? You know where to go to the classroom. I'm taking this one. Get the basket. I don't know where the basket is. Oh. Oh. Yeah.
Our card shower this morning is for Mackenzie Grooms, who had a tonsillectomy. I also pray or ask that you keep in your hearts and your prayers for those living with cancer, health and other concerns, and for senior members that can't make it to church on Sundays. Do we have any other concerns, praises? Yes. Prayers for healing. Any others? Yes. Yes.
Next Sunday, we are, as a congregation, we will be doing our annual meeting for the people of budget and the state of office. As of yesterday, we still needed at least two commission chairs, a couple elders, a couple deacons, and a vice president. So I would ask that we pray for the nominating committee, that they get these filled this week. And on the other side, we need to pray to see if we should fill one of those spots. As normally we would have filled by this time, but nine of our congregation are now currently on a search committee, and that's a full-time job, so that narrowed up those that normally would serve. So carefully think about filling those positions for 2020.
Positions to be filled for 2020. Yes.
First, joy to see Chuck Stewart in church.
Hey. Yes. Yes. Yeah, safe travels, especially with the weather coming in. Any more? Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father God, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, we depend on you for all things, whether we know it or not. We pray for those in need, for those suffering health concerns, those that can't make it. And we also rejoice. We pray for next Sunday, the annual meeting, the approval of budgets. And also for the future of this church, that the positions be filled, that if it's your will, to lead us into 2020. Lord, we praise those who can make it. for Chuck, who can make it today. And we pray for those in the ER, for Raylan Heck, for the family. Also for this coming week, everyone traveling to and from. Pray for safe travels so you can enjoy a good meal. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In 4 days, we will gather around tables all over the country to enjoy a bountiful meal. The holiday of Thanksgiving is unique to America. Intellectually, I knew this, but I really didn't think about it until a year ago when we went to China. There were no Thanksgiving decorations in early November. Went straight to Christmas. Thanksgiving gives us a chance to reflect on everything we are thankful for. And how neat is it that as Christians, we have a chance to do that every week. As we partake in communion in the bread and wine, please think about all you are thankful for and everything Jesus has done for us. Communion is open to everyone. If you wish, please take the bread and cup as it is passed. We will now turn in our praise book for the communion hymn number 86, Change My Heart, O Lord. As you may recall, on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread and, having given thanks, said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray.
Lord, as we come to partake of the bread and wine, we come in meekness of heart and humility of spirit, knowing that we cannot approach you in our own righteousness, but because of your great goodness and gracious mercy, in sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross in our place and to pay the price for our sins. As we partake of the symbols of bread and wine, we eat and drink in remembrance of him who died for us and rose again, knowing that he has become to us both our meat and our drink. Help us to live in newness of life and to walk worthy before you all the days of our lives. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Thanksgiving offering benefits the colleges, universities, seminaries, and divinity houses affiliated with the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Higher education has been an important focus for disciples since the very beginning of the movement. Throughout our history, disciples have founded institutions of higher learning to educate students and form leaders to make a difference in the world. The Christian Church Disciples of Christ is still committed to higher education. Your gift to the Thanksgiving offering helps support the education of thousands of students at our 15 colleges and universities, as well as our 7 seminaries and divinity houses. The colleges and universities of the Christian Church provide quality education through classes offered by some of the nation's top undergraduate and graduate faculty. Many of the campuses are comprised of state-of-the-art facilities, offer diverse degree programs, include dynamic student life activities, offer exciting athletics programs, and much more. The Thanksgiving offering supports everything from scholarships to religious life offices to faculty growth and development. By giving to the Thanksgiving offering, you are helping our institutions invest in students as they prepare themselves to become leaders. The Thanksgiving offering also provides scholarship and support for our theological education institutions. Each of our seminaries and divinity houses is committed to educating and forming Christian leaders for church and society. Generations of pastors, community leaders, and agents of social transformation have been educated at our theological institutions. They have flourished and made a difference in the world thanks to gifts from disciples, congregations, and individuals throughout the ages. These institutions continue to prepare leaders for the present age and the age to come. Support for Disciples Mission Fund and gifts to the Thanksgiving offering are a critical part of the ongoing collaborative work of church and higher education that is such a foundational part of the heritage of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Please give generously to this offering. Your gift makes a difference in the lives of our students, and it makes a difference in the world.
Thank you, Debbie. In the spirit of thanksgiving, we also think about those in need. We follow Christ's example of caring and giving. We give because Christ gave to us the greatest gift of all, salvation. As the plate is passed, please give what you can. We will now receive our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the many blessings of life. Receive now these tithes and offerings as a sign of gratitude in our hearts. Amen. Nobody likes a dry reading. I wish I could claim that joke, but I actually saw it in a previous service. First reading of Scripture is Psalm 12 in the Old Testament. Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. Their faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak with deception. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue that says, we will triumph with our tongues. We own our lips. Who is our master? Because of the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times. O Lord, will you keep us safe and protect us from such people forever? The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men.
Our Holy Gospel reading is taken from the book of St. Luke, chapter 21, verses 5 through 9, and in the Pew Bible, New Testament, page 85. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when no one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down," they asked him. "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he.' And the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first. But the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, the kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before this all occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, quite a reading, especially moving into Thanksgiving. I must admit that this gospel is a difficult one to understand given my life experiences. On one hand, I do know at least a little bit of what it means when temples fall. I know a little bit. Anyone who has experienced the world has in one way or the other felt the impact of change befalling upon them. Some of us know these times when our personal and private worlds were shaken to the core, times when the walls of the temple in our lives came tumbling down. Some of us may be feeling that kind of tremor, some of us, in the here and the now. Many of us have not seen temples fall in the way that Jesus speaks about in our text. They were rather violent, as you hear. But some of us know the ache. Know the ache when we see and feel the painful divide in our country. Some of us have that ache. Or experience the helpless feeling when catastrophe and disaster decimates our national landscape. Fires, floods, hurricanes. We might cringe when we see pictures and we hear reports coming out of Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, Yemen, and most recently Hong Kong. And when we hear about the Kurds, we wonder what's going to happen to those people in the Middle East. They have no land. It saddens many of us when we hear about what so many people have to endure these days. The older we get, the surer we come to know how fragile, oh yes, us seniors, we know it well, don't we? How fragile and uncertain life can be. In an instant, the so-called buildings and structures we once knew are gone. Health and tragedy can strike us down at any moment. We have this breath. That's all we have. And when we allow ourselves a moment to reflect, many of the people that mentored us, that shaped us into the people that we are today, they're gone. They're gone. Nevertheless, our experiences are limited. Many of you have faced issues that I have yet to face. For me, I have not known hunger. I have not experienced the plague, faced catastrophic fire, or faced a flood. I haven't. And when I look at this gospel text, I'm not sure what Jesus is getting at when he talks about dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. What is he talking about? And the part of this lesson that talks about persecution, I have to admit, it's foreign to me. And frankly, I know nothing of the sort of persecution that Jesus talks about in today's reading. Nor have I experienced betrayal or hatred at the hands of trusted loved ones and friends. Has any of us? But this was not the case when these words were first recorded and passed on. Those who first heard them knew precisely what Jesus was referring to. Still, there were untold numbers of people in the world. There are untold numbers of people who suffer from government tyranny, excessive hardship, hatred and persecution. There are people in this world that experience those kinds of things. The words in our gospel lesson, they had an impact on Jesus' hearers. For them, they were meant to be words of promise and hope. For them, the words that they must cling to are found at the end of the section where Jesus assures them, not even a hair on their heads will perish. All they have to do is to hang on. And yet, while these words speak to a multitude, do they speak to us? How do they speak to us? How? Indeed, how do these words relate to us as we sit comfortably around these wonderful surroundings? How do they speak in a world where all we have to do when we get sick and tired of the chaos is to turn off the TV? How do they speak to us of the raising reports of war, suffering, and tragic losses of life due to disease and the lack of those things that we often take for granted? How do we relate to these words? How do we relate to these words when we become numb to the report of another wounding or death by gunshot of another innocent person or persons somewhere in our own nation? How do we relate? Or how can we relate to these words? How can we relate to these words when we allow cynicism? When we allow skepticism or self-interest to dismiss the needs of the poor? I sometimes wonder if some of us are like those gazing at the temple so long ago. I wonder if the signs are all around us and we ignore the signs for the sake of our own personal comfort. Maybe there are those of us, okay, not everybody, but some of us need to hear these hard words of Jesus to wake us up. Perhaps we need to be reminded that these beautiful, adorned structures in our life will not stand forever. Some time ago, I was able to walk along the hallways of an assisted living facility. And I found many of the residents there were in the midst of circumstances which somewhat mirrors Jesus' words. Folks who were crippled with various infirmities, stricken by loneliness and even despair. However, as I walked those hallways, I also found small acts of kindness and large ones too, which point to the promises that our Lord Jesus extends to each and every one of us, to the world around us, the people around us. In my case, I want and need those acts of compassion that underscores God's love. I need that because I know I'm in my final third in my life. I need to hear those words, especially when I face my own emotional, mental, and physical ailments. Yet I find this gospel reading difficult to understand. And I cannot say for sure how these words speak to us today. I really don't. However, and unfortunately, I believe this message from Luke does ring more true for those who are in devastating circumstances than they do for many of us. So I pray that those who are in the midst of struggle, those who are in the midst of devastating circumstances, can be lifted up by God's promises in ways that we may not fully know, at least not yet. I pray they can hold on, that they can hold on to hope. Maybe this is one of those lessons which calls us to stand alongside. To stand alongside and listen to those whom these words do speak. And may we all honor the life that God has given us at this moment. May we also give thanks daily for the blessings that God freely bestows upon us. May we take time to slow down from the demanding schedules and strive to be more present to the Spirit and to the people around us. I say this with the seasons of Advent and Christmas fast approaching, and we all know and experience how hectic this season of the year can be. But Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Calling us to venture out into the places where God has planted us. He's not asking us to go to some foreign mission field, but he's calling us to venture out in the places where we live. It is in these locales where we are called to reach out to people, to make other people's life more manageable, more hopeful, and more hope-filled. We are called. And hopefully, we will not be hardened by the abuses that we hear about or see, but rather practice compassion and understanding, especially to those who are struggling in our own community, struggling to endure in the only way that they know how. Indeed, whatever else may be true, even if these words do not seem to make sense today, there may become a time when they just might. We know Jesus is no stranger to horrific forces that surround us today. The fear that we and others may feel, whether cosmic or personal, will be overcome. Will be overcome by God's truth, by God's promises. Truth that we are called to hold near and dear to each and every one of us. It is God's promise that the Spirit will reassure us. And when we face our own trials and tribulations, may we be thankful for that kind of reassurance that he gives us. The Spirit can and does open eyes and hearts to the suffering and the needs that are all around us. The Spirit compels us, brothers and sisters, compels us to act, spurs us forth, to show not only acts of kindness, but to show and to share God's love in the places where he's planted us. Let us be thankful for that very love and be moved to act accordingly. Finally, may our faith grow. May our faith grow and be strong. And may we be thankful for that very gift of faith. Now may the radiant light of God's love reassure us, guide us, and encourage us to help and comfort others. Let us be thankful for that. Amen. We would like us, even though it was a pre-sermon hymn, I would like us just the same if we could sing hymn 612, O Jesus, I Have Promised, appropriate as we follow up this message. 612, verses 1, 2, and 4. O Jesus, I Have Promised.
We welcome new membership by confession of faith and baptism or transfer membership. To accept Christ as your Lord and Savior or to make First Christian your church home, please talk with an elder or come forward during our closing hymn, which is Now Thank We All Our God, hymn number 715.
Thank you. gracious ones, go from this place, knowing the reassurance of your Lord and Savior. May you remember the promises that he bestows upon you and those all around you. May you depart with God's peace in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.